Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
You know, I think I'm always curious to learn about different things that affect us. And there's so many things out there that we feel, you know, if you keep an open mind, you start worrying about everything a little bit. But it never hurts to hear what other people have uncovered. And with me today, and they're from Utah, Carl and Joan Robinson, who are going to talk about something that I really wasn't familiar with. It's called bromine. How are you doing today?
We're doing well.
Very good, thank you.
It's nice of you to join me. What part of Utah are you in?
Northeast Utah, a place called Roosevelt, Utah, by Vernal, up in the high
Uinta Basin.
Green River, Flaming Gorge Reservoir, the desert. It's a high desert area just at the foot of Alpine Mountain.
So you guys are really commuting with nature out there, aren't you?
When we get a chance.
Yeah. It's right in your backyard.
Yes, literally. Our backyard is almost the same, it's almost a wildlife preserve.
That's cool. And how long have you been there?
We've been here about 16 years now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What made you go out there?
A former business partner pulled us out here on a project. We had actually two different projects, and he decided he didn't like the hard winters out here, and so he said, why don't we let me move down further south, and let's split our business interests. You take the one you like, I'll take the one I like, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. And so you still like being out there?
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. Well, have you written books, both of you written books before then, or is it just more of information that you've released?
Both.
Okay. And the topic...
Joan's formerly an editor for one of the largest distributed health publications in the country. I've written books on varying issues and white papers on varying health-related issues. So, yeah, a lot of the education we do, we have also had the opportunity of being able to do some publishing on.
So how did you find out about bromine? How does somebody come across something like that?
Well, I work with iodine. Our company developed a very unique monoelement nanocolloidal triiodide. It is not a mineral-based salt, like potassium iodide, which does not do a great job of nutritionally fortifying the body with iodine. Typical mineral salt iodides actually shut the thyroid down from accepting any iodine, including radioisotope-bound iodine, which is why it's so good for that. But I had found that, you know, we needed to get an iodine that is more free, and it's free when it gets into the system, and it's easier for the liver and the varying hormone systems to take up and convert into thyroid hormones.
So you said iodized salt is not something that's good for us.
Yeah, those are called typical iodides, like potassium iodide, sodium iodide, calcium iodide. They're good for what they do, but as a source of iodine supplementation, it's one of the hardest forms of iodine for the body to break down and utilize.
So in our research and developing this form of iodine, because iodine is so vital to our health, we uncovered some really amazing things about why our iodine levels are so low and our health is so compromised, especially in the United States.
And that is traced to this bromine, right, which we find in what?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, it has. The problem with bromine is that in the Western industrialized world, every nation in the industrialized Western world has outlawed the use of bromine in any consumable product. It's not even supposed to be in certain medicines. It's outlawed. only the United States is still allowing bromine to be put in foods and beverages, and the most insidious part of that is it doesn't have to be listed as an ingredient.
Hmm. Wow. Why would they do that?
It's an antagonist. Bromine is an antagonist to iodine. It actually goes into the body and mimics iodine, attaches to the iodine receptors that are in every cell in the body, and then it begins to create its problem. It's a toxin within to our system.
And why would they allow that to go on?
Well, you know, that question's almost become rhetorical, because only in America do we have corporatist interests who reside at K Street and have direct access to congressmen and Pentagon officials that basically dictate, you know, through the vote that they manipulate to either make sure something happens or, in the case of bromine, make sure that there's no law passed. So, yeah, it's a mystery why it's being allowed. But we do know that it's more of the corporate interest behind it than anything.
It's kind of like the...
Because the science doesn't support it. Science absolutely does not support the addition of bromine in any amount to our foods, to our beverages, and not to mention what it's doing in the environment.
But it helps our breads and our donuts be fluffier. And so when the iodine was taken out of the flours, the bromine was put in, and we have nice fluffy pastries and bakery goods.
So that...
Yeah.
That hurt our health.
And that it's so the presentation, it helps the presentation, but it doesn't help our health. And it's all about...
No, it does not at all. It's called a dose conditioner. That's a code word for a rise accelerant.
Okay. And also, I mean, they're well aware of they got to be aware of what it's doing to us, right?
Well, of course they are. The science is very clear on it.
And so...
Flower makers are, but the scientists do not.
Yeah. But the problem is that we're not living in a country that any longer allows science to prevail in public policy. Particularly since the Bush administration of G.W. Bush, science has been relegated to a secondary position, and other interests have rose up. And for the sake of not creating more controversy here, those interests are not interested in the public health. They're interested in their own self-serving agendas. And I've seen this consistently concerning both this bromine issue as well as the way iodine continues to be treated in the medical community and by government itself.
So when you are lacking iodine in your body, what are some of the things that happens to your body?
Your immune system breaks down. You cannot handle the heavy metal toxins that are now aerosols into the atmosphere. So they get in the body and they sequester. That means they settle in bone tissue and fatty tissue. All of those kinds of things happen. Your metabolism kind of goes wonky. Your sleep patterns are all over the place. Your thinking patterns, it's very hard to think as rationally and in a more grounded reality when you have low thyroid hormone levels. And all of this is a result of iodine deficiency.
Now, I'm guessing there's something that people can take. Obviously, we're going to talk about there would be an option of what they can do to correct that.
Yes. One of the first things is get a hold of our website at cedarbear.com and go to the Zodyne segment. And
Zodyne iodine.
The Zodyne iodine. And you know what? They don't have to go purchase product right off. There's a PDF booklet on there that they can download and read and get some education and then make an educated decision. So we provide that as a service. Certain foods have some iodine, particularly your seafoods, and we have to make one thing clear here. A seafood allergy is not an iodine allergy.
Hmm.
There is no such thing as allergies to minerals by themselves. Allergies are caused by proteins and the body not being able to accept a certain protein or protein configuration. So when a person has a shellfish allergy, they have an allergy to the protein that makes up that shellfish, not to the iodine.
Okay. Because everybody needs that, right? Now, what happens if
and
you get...
Well, iodine is so important because without it, you don't have proper fetal development. And that effect on the DNA replication processes of the body requires iodine, and it continues throughout our life.
So is it a possibility, let's say they were to use your product, is it a possibility to get too much iodine in your system?
The right kind of iodine, typically the body has mechanisms where it's able to excrete what it doesn't need, and
like vitamin C,
and absorb what it does need and utilize it. Sometimes people will experience a little rise in blood pressure, and that's because the effect of the iodine getting the thyroid functioning properly puts metabolites into the body that actually has a strengthening effect on the heart, and oftentimes the heart will react that way and the cardiovascular system. So we simply say back off, moderate that, and let that strengthening process happen gradually. Now, what I just mentioned, the blood pressure factor, is actually more rare than common when people start bringing up their iodine levels. Actually, in my instance, it actually had the benefit of helping to correct my blood pressure.
Well, and when you take the Zodine iodine that Cedar Bear makes, it helps displace that bromine that is in your body that is keeping everything from working right, and so that might create some kind of...
Well, I'm of the opinion, because bromine toxicity is almost exactly what iodine toxicity is, almost 97-98%. And oftentimes people, doctors, will say, you're having an iodine toxic reaction from increasing your intake of iodine. They say, whoa, have you done a bromine urine spillage test to see if there's been an increase in bromine? Because if there is, that's what's causing the toxic reaction. And bromine can actually cause blood pressure to rise.
So
temporary adjustment.
By taking your products relatively, it's going to be something that my head's not going to fall off, or, my veins are not going to shoot out of my skin. No. So it's something that's going to balance
out. I'd be more concerned about bromine doing that.
Yeah, I guess so, right? I was going to say, it almost sounds like this is a deliberate thing. Like they almost don't want us to be healthy.
Well,
an interesting little theory, because it sure looks like it on many, many levels.
I think the population needs to realize two things out there. One, we are approaching 9 billion population worldwide. Science in many multidisciplinary fields has established that the Earth's sustainable holding capacity of the human population is around 4 billion. It tops out and begins to go over the edge, as they say, at 5 billion. So when you're talking about health policy and you're talking about dealing with people's needs and things like that at the deep, deep, high level of policymaking, I leave it to the listener to determine where those policies are going to end up going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Good. Well said. So when we have our immune system working, when we have what we need, fully healthy functioning system, we really should not get sick very often, should we?
No, we shouldn't. And even with all the toxins in the environment, people talk about heavy metal poisoning. The science is clear on this. If I have adequate amounts of T3 and T4, those are the two main thyroid hormones that require iodine to be produced. If I have adequate amounts of that in my body, the T3, T4 actually will latch to the heavy metals that aren't supposed to be there and will be part of neutralizing and kicking those out of the body.
Mm-hmm. So it's detoxing.
Yeah.
So that's what this does. Part of what the product that you have is going to allow us to detox that out of our, basically just our body to catch up to what it needs to be.
Exactly. And once your body has adequate tissue saturation of iodine, it's an amazing thing. I have theorized not only can we handle the heavy metal toxicity that's now in the environment, we can handle the novel cosmic rays, background radiation, better handle, what's lacking in food, some of the things that shouldn't be in food. but your body has to have the tools to do so.
And that iodine is like a protective shield. It helps the body do its protection that it needs to do.
Well, we do know that in times past, that in when humanity was, quote-unquote, more in a caveman state, there was more iodine in the soil, there was more iodine in the foods, and they were more richly iodized. During certain periods of human history, we've had massive cataclysmic natural events. That's volcanoes that have gone off and spewed massive amounts of bromine and toxic methane into the air. There has been periods of time when we've had these kinds of climate warming, and you have these blow-offs of methane into the air, because this methane is always accompanied by massive amounts of bromine. Somehow, the human race of antiquity had enough iodine and healthy enough thyroids, they were able to survive these cataclysmic natural events that, for all intents and purposes, should have wiped out humanity.
Right.
We do not stand in as safe a position today. Our bodies are nowhere near as iodized and as naturally mineralized as our ancestral humans were.
So we have to supplement. We absolutely have to.
Yeah.
And then you could also look at just not our foods, you know, the baked foods that you're talking about that have the bromine in it. But, you know, there's many other foods that we eat that are GMOs. You know, I know there's a lot of talk about that. How do you feel about that?
Oh, GMO, I'm on a few forums there. And, you know, genetic modification, by the way, that's different than genetic manipulation, which is what hybridization is based on. They're totally worlds apart. But for GMO, my biggest concern is the philosophy upon which it operates, and that is it's a chemical philosophy. It requires Roundup, glyphosate, and it requires pesticides, and it requires chemical inputs as far as fertilizer. To do these massive crops. And the problem I have with GMO is that the corporatist approach is to basically squeeze the human food variety down to a few dozen foods that they control through their patent activity. And that's not good for humans. We need variety. And it's not good for the planet. It's not good for the ecology. It's not good for health. It's just not good all the way around. If somebody wants to do it as an option, that's fine. But the way it's being handled and forced down us, that's wrong.
It's corporate. Corporate, again, you're talking about major corporations that are pulling the strings on all that, right?
Yes. And the corporate thing seems to always be a part of the dominant culture that's in place at any one time. Prior to the United States, it was Britain. The merchant class controlled everything. Prior to that, It was the Mediterranean countries, you know, Spain and Italy, and there you had the church, which controlled everything, and it acted like a corporation. The same thing has happened in China throughout times, and with China emerging as the next great power, well, guess where the greatest level of free capitalism and business growth is taking place, and its influence is government amongst the Chinese corporations. So it's a historical thing.
It's a historical thing, and I believe, and I don't know, I'm guessing the two of you are pretty natural since you started Cedar Bear Naturals, and you live probably a lifestyle like that. But, you know, I believe that we've kind of been manipulated and controlled for a long time, and people are now really starting to wake up. Do you see that at all?
I do see it, but part of the problem with our waking up, and I think that the crash of 2008 had a lot of impact on us psychologically, we don't feel like we have any empowerment as individuals. We keep seeing a fractured Congress. We have presidents who make promises on the campaign trail and turn around and do 180 degree on the very things they promised that was the first things that they would do. And so we're living in a world of betrayal, constant betrayal by our corporations, constant betrayal by our government, constant betrayal even by our, and I'm going to be real bold on this, by our religions and even by our scientific community, which no longer does science for the sake of science, but goes to the highest bidder. It's been a grasp, greedy, almost dystopian situation we've been confronted with. But that's okay. We live in a world of abundance, so everything else must be fine. The trade-off.
Yeah, okay.
So we have to empower ourselves and build our own health and well-being from the from our grassroots. And so with Cedar Bear Naturals, we've worked for years with herbal work, the very finest and finest of herbal remedies that exist. And so that's another thing that people can explore.
You know, I've had many people on my show, and I've seen this firsthand a good part of my life, especially in the last 10, 20 years. People that have had serious disease, very serious, and they have recovered by choosing to go a healthier route, but actually using a lot of natural, whether it's natural supplements or natural things that they can find. And there's a number of companies out there that make many wonderful products that seem to, you know, I've seen it with cancer. I've seen people completely get better from cancer. I've seen it with Alzheimer's. I've seen it. Can we actually turn a major disease around?
Well, I'll speak just for a moment on that personally. Almost 20 years ago, my whole immune system crashed to complete nothing, and I really didn't think I was going to survive. And we, you know, I had married an herbalist. A clinical herbalist, and so with his expertise and the work that we were beginning to do with Cedar Bear, we started from the ground up and rebuilt my health and with those natural means. Carl?
Yeah, one thing I want to make clear here, when we talk of these serious conditions and diseases, herbs in and of themselves do not go in and cure, mitigate, ameliorate, or change these conditions. What they do is they go in and they provide the body with the necessary tools to be able to take care of itself. And this is a major point that has been missed by the marketers, the hucksters, and what's going on within our own industry. That's one side we have to be aware of. But the other side we have to be even more aware of, and we need another grassroots consumer movement here to counter this because it's becoming so insidious, is there is an element within the controlling media that is disparaging herbs and natural health. And the FDA does not like us anyway because we're a thorn under the saddle for them, and they're doing everything they can to make it hard for our industry, especially the small operators that are the most innovative and have these wonderful products. We need to have a grassroots movement that rises up and basically says, excuse me, we're all for protecting us as consumers. We're not for you guys treating the natural health products industry like they're a pharmaceutical bastard child and trying to make them do things that they shouldn't have to do because they can't make those claims. And so it's gotten real persnickety. But the biggest thing is that there is no codified approach to their inspection. The field inspectors are given final authority on how they choose to interpret those inspections. You know, that's not done even in the food and beverage industry, and it sure as heck isn't done in the drug industry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guarantee you it's not done in pharmaceutical. And, you know, many people have told me, you're just being squashed because you're competition with the pharmaceutical. And there's a movement, you know, if I want to step back and speak honestly, completely honestly, and I try to be objective, but they don't want us to. They don't want us to wake up and be aware of things going on. And they don't. I don't think they really want us to be healthy because we have a system in place that doesn't want to cure disease to begin with. So
there's no money in health.
No money in being healthy.
There's no money in being healthy for them. Mm-hmm.
Right. So we have diseases that I know can be cured because I've seen it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And not just cured in a matter of years, cured with natural products in a matter of weeks. I mean, major turnarounds from people that had stage four. And, you know, when you witness that firsthand, you realize somebody's lying. Now, granted, healing is an inside thing, too, don't you think, as well? It's part of the body-mind-spirit thing, right?
Yes.
And as Carl said earlier, when you give the body and the mind and the spirit what it needs to correct itself, it can correct itself very fast.
And that's what I witnessed. Have you witnessed that as well? With your products, have people come up and said, "You're not going to believe this," blah blah blah?
We have had people come up, and I have to remind them now: be careful of your interpretation. Our products are not medicine. What they do is they provide nutritional, metabolic tools that the body can take and take care of itself. Our bodies are actually programmed like a computer with software, where if it's got the right input, it can process that stuff and result in the proper output.
Yeah, and if we don't have that, then we're going to continue to run on a treadmill and go in no direction. So we've seen, when do you think things started changing in this country? When did we start going, because we were nutritious at one time, were we not?
Well, for the most part, we were, yes. Humans are humans, and all that. But the real change took place probably when you had the industrial age, what we call the industrial mechanized age, when it started taking hold. And we went from an agrarian society to an industrial society, which also meant we had, where most of the population was rural, we had a shift to the urban population predominating. And with that, when you have shifts to urban populations being the dominant force in a country, health tends to take a far back seat, and all the things that goes along with urbanization takes hold.
I'd say that one of those turning points that we can look at is when they develop that Wonder Bread mentality. When we always wonder how they can call it bread. When you went from whole, wholesome, homemade, from whole grain into these highly processed with bromine in the flours, and we threw out nutrition.
Yeah, we started to change. That happened, when did that happen? The 40s, the 50s? TV, the invention of TV really changed things a lot too, right?
It's called factory farming, factory food processing. It's when things became, industrialized, factory, that, it's a matter of output, 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 and not considering what's being taken out to make it happen faster and faster, till eventually you've got empty calories that people are eating. And sometimes those empty calories are full of toxic byproducts.
So we talk to people about go back to your kitchen, start cooking from scratch, go back to your garden, start growing your own in your own backyard.
Or your own back porch if you live in the city. Because you can use buckets, you can use planters, there you can use your veranda and grow a good portion of your food.
And support your farmers markets and local and organic as much as possible. Let's get back to basics. And we will build our health and our ability for our brains to work and to think and to speak out.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to throw something at both of you because, I'm reading about who the two of you are, and I'm guessing you're on the same wavelength as I am, but maybe not. But, it doesn't hurt to ask. I really believe why this is all happening. We are coming into a time of great awakening, and we've been asleep at the wheel for hundreds, if not thousands of years as beings. And there are those, if you look at a bigger perspective, that don't want that to happen. And some of the foods we eat kind of dumb us down and hurt us health-wise, and even the things that they do to our water. I've seen, how do you feel about fluoride?
Oh, I'm absolutely opposed to fluoride. It's another goitrogen. It's in the same category as bromine and chlorine. Bromine, chlorine, and fluoride are all iodine antagonists.
And they're industrial waste materials.
Fluoride is another component that is not, though we in America, certain municipalities put it in the water, it's banned in all, it's banned in the European Union, it's banned in Australia, I think that some of the provinces in Canada have banned it. It's banned in more places in the world than what it's used. It does.
And so I believe that this has been a, Well, they've been keeping us in the dark, and they want to keep us like a mushroom for as long as possible, because we are coming into this great time of awakening, I believe, this great shift in consciousness, understanding, awareness. And I see a lot of people starting to, that's what I said earlier, people are starting to understand this, and they're just waking up and they're knowing that something's not right without even somebody. It's like an inner consciousness. They're becoming aware. And so if you create these foods or you put things in the water that are going to limit us from our full potential, spiritually, health-wise, all of those things. How do you feel about that? Is that kind of a strange question for you?
No, it's not a strange question. What I've studied, because Joan and I are also certified clinical hypnotherapists, and we're studied in multidisciplinary fields of trancing and hypnotherapy, as well as ethnotrancing, which is, you know, the basis of the spiritual traditions that the old healings were based on. One of the things I think that sometimes we miss is because of the sophistication of our modern language and how we have so many distractions around us, and our terminology that's used out there is generational, and also it's becoming much, much fuller with so many sub-things. What we're calling an awakening that you called, I believe that what that actually is that within every human being, we have an intrinsic survival mechanism. And that survival mechanism can be reflexive, meaning I'm about to get hurt, so I'm going to do something to keep myself from being hurt. The other is awareness. I believe that this conscious awareness thing that's being talked about, that you mentioned, is actually a survival, part of our survival mechanism of, we know, we feel something's wrong, and so our survival mechanism is kicking in, and one of the first things the survival mechanism does is fight or flight. Now, part of the fight and part of the flight is I got to get information to know which to do. So we are actually reaching out as human beings, those of us that are waking up, this survival mechanism, this notification that's kicking in, we're actually out there trying to find out why is all of this happening. Why does it feel like something's rotten in Denmark, as the saying goes?
You know, I think that's as good as any explanation that's out there. So, you know, something is shifting. Something is changing. And I see that on my end with all the people I talk to, that a lot of people are beginning to question things. So at least that's the very good place to start.
Right.
And they're not trusting what they're being told. And I think that's another good thing, you know?
Well, that's another point of survival. Don't trust anything anyone says.
And, you know, trust your body, what your body tells you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if people want to, again, your website, and you feature many different types of things on there, right?
Yes.
Yes, complex herbal formulas, single herbs, and other things, and information. Information.
That's important. That's really good. I'm glad to see that you offer that as well. What is the website again, please?
It's cedarbear.com. Nice and simple. Cedarbear.com. C-E-D-A-R-B-E-A-R.
Cedarbear.com, and we have natural products, and you can find out more about Carl and Joan Robinson. They are the founders. You are the founders of this company, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Correct.
And you were inspired to do so because of your life experiences, right? Led you to this direction.
Pretty much so.
Well, it's really nice to talk to you. And I've learned a bit about bromine, which I guess I really didn't know much about, you know, too much about. I knew there were things in the not the natural breads that we have. And you learn something new if you keep your eyes open. So I really want to thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.